Bother me during my live presentation. All right, we are good to go. Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Tim Pichot, Libertarian Advisor. And what I want to talk about today is, how to buy Bitcoin, why you should buy Bitcoin, should you buy Bitcoin, how much to invest, can it be hacked, how to secure it. And just to give, a little background about myself, this is not to tout myself up or try to, act more important than I really am. But, you see a lot of people out there talking about Bitcoin. It's, the new, cause du jour that's out there right now. But this has been something that I've been studying for, a very, very long time. Just to give a little background about myself, I graduated in 2008. So right in time for the economy to implode. I started my career in finance 2 weeks before Bitcoin was created. And if you realize what happened 2 weeks before Bitcoin was created, is that is actually when the financial crisis happened. So I started the day Lehman Brothers crashed. And so, here I am, out there in a financial planning job, 22 years old, did not like sales, last thing I wanted to be doing. And, really was kind of thrown to the wolves, spent, really first kind of few years just, head down trying to study as much as I could, becoming a financial expert. But, becoming a financial expert and making money, really are two different things. Now, eventually, money, knowledge, is money, or knowledge, eventually leads to money. So I'm really glad that I did spend all those years, studying as much as I did. But, when you're living, credit card to credit card, it doesn't give you a lot of time to invest. Then, fast forward 3 years, I moved from New York to Arizona, had to basically start over again. Really took about 3 years to get going again. So, 2011, which would have been a great time to buy Bitcoin. And really, kind of fast forward to 2015, my business was really, really rocking and rolling, did really, really well in 2015. And then that's when I decided, I'm going to quit my current job that was really lucrative, that finally was lucrative for the first time in my entire career. And I'm going to start my own company right after my daughter graduates. So, Bitcoin is something that I had been, looking into, right from the very, very beginning. The first person I ever told about Bitcoin from an investment standpoint was at $30. I told another client about Bitcoin when it was at $200. I'm a frequent guest on the show on LRN.FM's Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. One of the first, probably the second person to start talking about Bitcoin on the radio. And I've been on his show probably 20 times this year. So when I'm saying this stuff, I'm not saying it as, all these charlatans who are out there, now all of a sudden, everybody's a Bitcoin expert. But at the beginning of this year, I really didn't think, I did not see this coming, because I thought when the ETF decision, I thought that that was going to get denied and that that was going to be bad news for Bitcoin. And, I was in this typical, mind state of, hey, it's at, it was probably at like $1,000 or $900. And I was thinking, hey, this is, super expensive at $900, because I didn't fully understand it. And what I did understand from the very, very beginning is I understood that, Bitcoin is a way to, really supplant the banks. It's a way to cut out the middlemen. It's a way to, me give something value to you, and there is no government to be able to stop that. And that's something I understood right from the beginning. But what I didn't understand until probably fast forward about March of this year, and really it was at the behest of Ernest Hancock, really making sure that I understood this, was how the blockchain actually worked. And so I spent, tons of time, and anybody that knows me knows that whenever I dig into something, I go all in. I can't go and do a 5K. I got to go do an Ironman. I can't go and, just become a financial planner and study for a week to get my Series 65. I've got to be, the youngest person in America to get the CFP, or, probably one of the youngest people ever to get that. Everything I do is I'm all in to everything that I do. And that's how I live my life. So when it came to Bitcoin, I understood really how the blockchain could really, overtake everything. And when I say everything, I mean, in the future, the internet of the future is going to be beamed down from satellites that are 62 miles above the atmosphere, where no one can stop it, where it's going to be encrypted, to the tune of, four times even what Bitcoin is right now. And there's going to be these decentralized mesh networks where you're not going to be able to stop the internet. And it's going to be revolutionary. Whether it comes to stock exchanges, there's a company right now that is called, actually it's Overstock.com. It's a subsidiary of them, Medici Ventures, and their product is T0, where the transaction is the settlement. What that means is you can have a stock transaction, and instead of having to wait 3 days, instantly the stock is settled. It's going to cost next to nothing. Probably in the future, what's going to happen is instead of buying the S&P 500, you're going to buy all 500 stocks at once. It's going to cost next to nothing, and it's going to happen instantaneously. And the benefit of doing that is that, let's say, you know, 40 of those stocks are down, you know, 100 of those stocks are down. The beauty of this is that now you can just sell those stocks that are down. There's all sorts of tax reasons for doing that. And that's something that's not happening in the future. That's happening now. That IPO is happening on the 18th. Again, I'm not selling it. I'm not, you know, it's, you've got to be an accredited investor to get into this. I'm not advocating anybody, you know, just gets into something without doing your homework. And really, you know, nobody should take my word for any of this. You know, you should go out and do your own homework. And in June, I gave a little Facebook Live where, you know, I basically said the same thing. So what I want to do now is I want to flash back to a Facebook Live that I did in June, talking about, specifically it was about Ethereum, but also about the blockchain.
Is in timeout right now, so in about 2 minutes I'm gonna go get her. But the other thing I wanted to talk about is the tear that Bitcoin has been on, and actually all the different altcoins and
again early June
have been on an absolute tear. And that's one thing, you know, I really at the beginning of this year didn't really see that coming. I thought that when the ETF decision, basically not to have Bitcoin become an ETF, I thought that was going to be the death nail to it. Now, one of the other currencies to watch out for, and again, I'm not advocating anybody goes out and buy this. One of the ones I bought recently was Ethereum about a month and a half ago.
And when I say I'm not advocating anybody goes out and buy this, you know, that there are a lot of disclosures to be made. And so when people ask me, how much should I invest in the Bitcoin? How much should I invest in the cryptocurrencies? I'm going to use Bitcoin as a, you know, kind of a catch-all. Obviously, I know that cryptocurrencies and Bitcoin is not exactly the same thing, and that there's, you know, 1,400 different cryptocurrencies. But what you should really do is figure out how much you can afford to lose. You know, if you're 25 years old, you're going to have a much different investment profile than if you're 65 years old, and if you're 55 years old, and if you're 45 years old. Everybody's got different things going on in their life. And, you know, honestly, for me, you know, my money right now is better spent investing into my own business, because that's something that I can control. But really, one of the only other investments that I've been making, and again, this is going back to, you know, earlier this year, has been, the first one was into Ethereum when it was still into double digits, because not because I thought it was some speculative hype or I thought I was going to get really rich off of this, is because I understood what the underlying technology meant. With Ethereum is you actually have, it's basically like an operating system where you can have applications that are built on top of this operating system that can happen, automatic, decentralized, you know, without any way to stop it. And so, you know, that's one thing people don't understand, is that it's a lot more than, you know, thinking that I'm going to go to Starbucks and all of a sudden they're not going to take the dollar and they're only going to take Bitcoin. That's not why I'm into cryptocurrencies. Although, you know, maybe in the future, maybe that's where, you know, maybe that's where things are going someday. But however, that's not what really got me super excited. It was all the other applications of Bitcoin. But when it comes to how much should you invest in the Bitcoin, you know, let's say you need $50,000 a year to live on and you're going to get $20,000 for Social Security, you know, and depending on how old you are, I wouldn't really count that. And I think they'll always pay it, but, you know, someday that money might not buy you anything. But, you know, let's say you're getting $20,000 Social Security, another $10,000 from a pension, you know, for the, you know, maybe 18% of the people out there that are still getting pensions. So now you've got $30,000 coming in. Well, let's figure out the best way to get the other $20,000 in, you know, in the safest manner possible. And let's say you've got another $100,000 left over. Well, then use that money to invest in the Bitcoin. Don't go and just throw everything into it. And maybe if you're, you know, 20, 25 years old, and obviously at that point your net worth's not a lot, then yeah, you can go afford to do that. But, you know, you should have some sort of plan. You shouldn't just go willy-nilly into everything, because there's people that are getting into this that know nothing about the philosophy of Bitcoin, that know nothing about the underlying blockchain, that know nothing about any of the inside baseballs, that know nothing about all these other currencies, and all they want to do is say, you know, hey, I've got $100 and I want to turn it into $1,000 by next week. And if you go into any of these forums that, you know, just go on Facebook right now and type in any of these cryptocurrency forums, it is littered with people saying, hey, I've got $100 and I want it to be $1,000. Well, you know, a lot of those people are just going on to, you know, like coincap.io or CoinMarketCap is another great website that shows you in real time what the market cap is, what the various current cryptocurrencies are doing. And right now, as we're speaking, I'm taking a look at this. The market cap is almost $500 million, 493 $1 billion is the current market cap. So right now it is the largest bank in the world. This is something that people need to take seriously, because the people that don't take this seriously are going to be like the people in 1994 who didn't take the internet seriously, because this is a lot more than currency. This is way more than what people even completely can even understand. I was at a Bitcoin conference several months ago, and I was the only financial advisor there. And now I see CNBC, or as I like to refer to it as CMBS, trotting out all these financial advisors that literally know nothing about Bitcoin, talking about what a scam it is. Like, yeah, you know what? I had clients that wanted to get into Bitcoin, you know, earlier this year, and they thought 4,000 was too high. They were going to wait for the dip. Boom, it never dipped. And again, on a microsecond basis, then yeah, you know, there could be bubbles. It could be, you know, a little bit too frothy right now. Obviously, it went up a ton, and you've got to be a little bit hesitant of Wall Street getting in. But the bigger bubble is the $500 trillion derivative bubble. In my opinion, $500 trillion being the lowest estimate for that derivative bubble. Other estimates peg that at closer to, over $250 billion. But anyways, I'm going to go back to the video that I did in June talking about Ethereum.
500% in a month and a half. It's just absolutely nuts. But it's not because I think
we should put a lot more
in digital currency is not why I was a believer in it. It's because if you actually, if you go on YouTube, maybe type in Vitalik Buterin. He is the founder, the creator of Ethereum, is because the actual blockchain really is going to have the ability someday, whether it's Ethereum or whether it's MadeSafe or whether it's, you know, the 798 other ones that they have out there. Is
so in June there was 800, and now it's over 1400. So just to tell you how much it's been, and probably out of those 1400, probably 1300 of them are scams. There are a bunch that are Ponzi schemes. There are a bunch of fraudsters and hucksters that are out there. So, you know, you better know what you're getting yourself into, and you better be into this for a lot more than, hey, you think you're going to make a quick buck or two, because I think a lot of people are going to be separated from their money real quick, but a lot of people are probably also going to make a ton of money. So here we go.
The internets of the future are literally going to be built on top of these platforms. They're going to be able to replace different stock exchanges. They're going to be able to cut out the middlemen in the financial systems. They're going to be able to cut out different real estate transactions.
And I'm one of those middlemen in the financial systems, and I'm still saying this.
By being able to cut out the middlemen. Now, the only... And again, if you guys are wondering why I'm wearing the wife beater out here, it's
all right, we can stop that. But again, I did bring up earlier today that, you know, that the internet in 1994, the people that were poo-pooing that or wondering what that was, it is literally going to be just as dumb. The people that are poo-pooing this today are going to literally seem just as dumb as the people back then. So here's a clip from the Today Show in 1994 with Al Roker talking about the internet.
Well, Allison should know. What do you
is
say
internet
about Allison?
Anyway?
Internet is that massive computer
right.
network,
mm-hmm.
the one that's becoming really big now.
From the Today Show.
What do you mean? That's big? How does one, what do you write to it, like mail?
No, a lot of people use it and communicate. I guess they can communicate with NBC writers and producers. Allison, can you explain what internet is?
No, she can't say anything in 10 seconds or less.
Allison will be in the studio.
All right, and that was, again, from 1994, Today Show with Al Roker, and they were talking about, you know, what is the internet? And nowadays, I mean, you can literally see people saying, you know, what is blockchain? What is Bitcoin? It's very, very hard to wrap your head around, but what I really want to just impress people, that is a lot more than just simply, you know, hey, I can transact something value to you and nobody can stop me. Again, obviously that's a very, very important feature. And one of the guys who was bad mouthing Bitcoin not too long ago was that Prince Bin Al Talib, whatever his name is, one of the biggest owners of Twitter and Citigroup. Well, anyways, he was calling Bitcoin a scam. And then what happened to his ass was, you know, 2 weeks later, he was face down in a Riyadh Ritz-Carlton with $35 billion seized. Well, guess what? You know, I bet that guy wish he had some Bitcoin, because now all of his assets were just seized. Thank you for playing. That's the reason why you want to have cryptocurrencies. And again, you know, I'm using Bitcoin and blockchain and cryptocurrencies all as one big name. I'm not even that big of a fan of Bitcoin for other inside baseball reasons I'm not going to get into now. You can go to libertarianadvisor.com. I had a podcast on that two podcasts ago called Cryptos and Conspiracies, episode 1, if you want to know more about the inside baseball. But where I'm going with this is, my plans for this is I'm creating one of the first cryptocurrency IRA companies out there, especially from a licensed advisor. So in order to do that, I've got to sell my broker-dealer book of business, drop my Series 7 license, pay a massive fine, you know, take on a massive amount of headache. And all this money that I'm spending doing this, you know, I think it's better spending spending building up this business than it is even investing into Bitcoin or cryptocurrencies itself. So this is something where I'm all in. Again, you know, I was one of the youngest people ever to pass a certified financial planner exam in 2007. I told my I was running my school student managed investment fund on the finance, specifically the financial stocks, said don't buy any. And we at that point, I think, had the highest endowment return in America, aka we lost less than everybody else. So, you know, this is a game that I was in, the stock market game beforehand, and made a pretty good call in 2007. I first started getting into investing in 1998 or 99. My grandpa gave me $1,000. I thought it was like a billion. He talked me out of the investment I wanted to make because he thought the market was overvalued. He was 100% right. And that technology I wanted to invest in was Bluetooth. Well, guess what? This is Bluetooth times a billion in terms of the potential that this has. But again, there are risks to it. You should know the risks. You should study this yourself. But now I want to talk about how to buy Bitcoin. So in America, probably the easiest way or the most popular way is through a company called Coinbase. And so what you do is you log on, you got to take a little, I think, selfie of yourself, upload a driver's license. So they have all the anti-money laundering, all the know your customer rules that are in effect. So people are like, oh, this is just for drug dealers. Well, guess what? Drug dealers aren't going around and taking pictures of themselves and verifying bank accounts to do this stuff. So whenever I hear people say that, you know, they have absolutely no idea what they're talking about. And, you know, it would be much actually easier to track down a drug transaction payment through blockchain, open ledger, than it would be through, cash. So anyone that wants to make that argument, you know, has no idea what they're talking about. Because if you want to talk about, you know, who actually funds, you know, terrorism, you know, it's the U.S. government dropping off, you know, Toyotas and Humvees over to, you know, Al Nusra Front and the Free Syrian Army, and then dropping off, you know, all these, you know, weapons to them and stacks of cash. And then, oops, looksies, you know, they ended up giving, you know, all that over to Al Qaeda and then changed their name to ISIS. But again, different story. Not even getting into that. But again, Coinbase, that is where a lot of people, you just hook your bank account up to it. You know, I'm not getting any money from this. They're not paying me to say this. And I think Kraken is another one. K-R-A. I'm not sure how to spell that. Maybe K-K-E-N. Anyways, you can Google that. I'm not sure exactly which one gets the best, has the best fees or best rates. And actually, there is a way to actually avoid paying the fees of Coinbase if you are a market maker. So there's the exchange that it runs off is called the GDAX. And what you can do with the GDAX is you can hook your bank account up to that, log in with your Coinbase account. And if you say, hey, I want to buy, I'm not even sure what the price is. Actually, let me go back to CoinMarketCap right now. All right, so Bitcoin is at $17,416 as of right now. So if you wanted to say, hey, I want to buy Bitcoin at $17,415, and maybe if the price dips down, then you can fulfill that order. You run the risk of maybe it doesn't dip down, and then all of a sudden your order is not fulfilled. So there is, you know, an opportunity cost to do this. It takes more time. So it depends how valuable your time is. Just as a like an aside, the other day, I went to go do this and moved over some money to buy some Litecoin, and the $3 fee I was trying to avoid, you know, Litecoin went from $100 to $300. So, you know, I avoided the $3 fee, but now it's 300% higher. So, you know, that is one of the drawbacks to doing that. So maybe you can just keep some more money at Coinbase in their cash account, because if it does dip and you want to pull the trigger, that way the funds are already there, because the legacy banking system takes, you know, 4 or 5 days to move your money in, whereas Bitcoin happens very, very quickly. Then when it comes to, hey, how do I buy these other coins? Because right now on Coinbase, you can pretty much only buy Bitcoin, Ethereum, Litecoin, not pretty much. Those are the three that you can buy. Although there are rumors that they are adding other ones. But you can move your money from Coinbase then to an exchange called Bittrex. Get Bittrex, no affiliation with them. You should really know what you're doing, because again, if you F up and send something to the wrong address, especially at a company like Bittrex, you know, unless it's a ton of money, you know, they could give two shits about it and boom, your money's lost. So, you know what you're doing with this, because if you screw something up, you know, there's no 1-800 number to call. There's no central bank to call. You know, you are your own Swiss bank account, as actually Barack Obama said. But again, with Bittrex, you can buy, I think, I don't know, it's like probably like 1,000 different currencies on there. So Most of them only take Bitcoin. Some of them take Ethereum. So you can move your Bitcoin in there, buy the other ones. Again, do your homework before buying the other ones. Don't just jump on a bandwagon. Don't just buy something because I say to go buy it. You know, you shouldn't trust me. You shouldn't trust anybody. You should go actually research this self and only trust yourself. Another good exchange is called Shapeshift. Again, this can probably be a little more advanced for people that are out there, but you have to have let's say I wanted to buy, Neo. I'm just making one up. That actually is one. I'm not sure if it's even on. Not sure if it's even on Shapeshift. But let's say I had Bitcoin and I had a Neo address. And again, I'm not saying go out and buy Neo, which is sort of like the Chinese version of Ethereum. Would be the easiest way to explain that. But then, of course, you'd have to know what Ethereum is. But anyways, you know, you put in your Bitcoin address that it's receiving, and then you put in the Neo address that you want it to go to, and then they take out a small fee for doing it. Their money's never on an exchange. So in terms of privacy, in terms of safety, you know, I think that that's probably the most secure and safest way to do that. In my opinion, again, you know, probably not a beginner thing. All this stuff, you can go back, you can YouTube all this stuff. So if you want to YouTube that little GDAX trick, you can go YouTube that. They've got full tutorials on that. If you want to go, you know, YouTube how to open up a Coinbase account, boom, you can go do that. Although, you know, if you can't figure out how to open up a Coinbase account, you know, you're probably not smart enough to be invested into Bitcoin to begin with. So let's just throw that out there. Then the other thing I wanted to talk about was how to actually secure your Bitcoin. Because a lot of times you hear people talk about, you know, Bitcoin getting hacked. You know, didn't you hear about Bitcoin that all this money was lost? You know, blah, 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 blah. Well, in every one of those instances, it did not happen to people who had money in what you called cold storage. So when you have money that's on your phone, that's what is referred to as a hot wallet. A hot wallet, just like your bank account information, could be compromised, could be stolen. You know, there are bad actors that are out there. There are people, especially now with the market cap approaching $500 billion, there are bad actors that are out there that want to, you know, get a piece of it. And so if you have money that's on your phone, you know, that is vulnerable. So what I would recommend is that you look into maybe companies that will store your money offline in different multi-signature wallets. A multi-signature wallet is sort of think of it as like a nuclear submarine code where you need two different keys to unlock it. And then once it's unlocked, then at that point, the transaction can happen. So you'd actually have to hack into two different, you have to know two different private keys in order to make this happen. So again, when you have like another device that they sell, is one of them is called the Ledger Nano S, another one's called the Trezor, and these are basically little like USB sticks. The Trezor looks a little funny, and it's a little USB stick. You can download it into the USB stick, and then with that, you're thinking, okay, well, what if I lose that USB stick? What if you know, my dog eats it? I mean, hopefully that's not the case. What if it gets in, you know, out in a torrential downpour, and all of a sudden, you know, it short circuits? Well, what they do is they give you 24 different seed words, and the seed words is very hard to mess it up. It literally says, you know, one, and then you write it down, two, and then you write that down, three, then you write that down, and then obviously make sure that that's not just like laying around or right next to your, you know, Trezor. It would be a pretty stupid idea. But what you can do is, you know, if you were to lose your device, use those 24 words. You can repopulate it back onto any other device. So I'd highly recommend that if you are going to go into crypto, that you do it and you do it right. You make sure that you aren't keeping all of your money on your phone. You know, really bad idea to do that. You know, I keep, you know, some, you know, cash on the phone. And again, I wouldn't even recommend even keeping Bitcoin on your phone, because, you know, let's say, you know, today I was out at lunch and I wanted to, you know, pay somebody, you know, $15 because, you know, they bought me lunch. Well, if I wanted to do that in Bitcoin, the fee might be, you know, like 10, 15, 20 bucks. But if I use Bitcoin Cash, the fee might be 1/3 of 1 cent. If I use Dash, same thing. Litecoin, same thing. Ethereum Classic, same thing. Ethereum, also very cheap. So, you know, as people start getting more and more into this, they're going to realize some of the different intricacies, you know, because different currencies have different features. Again, I talked more about that in the podcast I did, a few months ago, or maybe like a month ago. But in terms of Bitcoin itself being hacked, really at this point, you know, there's a $500 billion bounty on hacking it, and it's been 7 years. And I kind of got more into this again in the other podcast, but what you'd have to do is how a Bitcoin comes into existence. The short version is you have to guess this huge ass number. There's like 14,000 trillion guesses a second. I mean, and that number switches, you know, by the second as mining and electricity costs, you know, really kind of have a whole supply and demand equilibrium. But as people are guessing at the network, in order for you to like hack the network, you literally would have to be the first person to guess that and then re-engineer every other transaction that's ever happened and then be the first one to then put on the next block. And in my own layman's terms understanding, you know, the odds of having 14,000 trillion people guessing at a second and you having the time to then to re-engineer every other one and then also be the one to find the next block. I mean, the odds are astronomical of that happening. It's not to say if quantum comes that can't happen. I think that is a big risk that's out there. That's why there's other currencies like Nexus Earth, which my buddy Colin Cantrell is the founder of, ticker symbol NXS. You know, they're going to be launching satellites up into space, broadcasting internet decentralized down to everybody. And they are trying to quantum resistant their technology by using a 1024 encryption versus Bitcoin, which is 256. So in layman's terms, theirs is four times more secure than Bitcoin. But really, you know, another reason why I like Bitcoin is we take a look at our future. We take a look at where things are going. And really, there's, you know, a tale of two different futures that are upon us. One of those futures is, and both of these futures involve digital cash. One of those futures involves digital cash that is tracked, surveilled. You know, let's say you're a Trump voter and Hillary Clinton gets in the office, you know, do you want somebody, you know, like one of these psychopaths, whether they're on the left side of the aisle or on the right side of the aisle, they're both psychopaths. Do you want one of these psychopaths to then say, hey, we didn't like your speech, so we're shutting off your digital cash? Because that's where things are going with, you know, currently. Or do you want to have a decentralized digital cash like Bitcoin or cryptocurrencies where there is no way to shut it off. There is no way to stop it. And you see all these people saying, oh, well, if this becomes too popular, then the government's just going to turn it off. Well, I mean, what does it say about our government if they're going to turn off Bitcoin? Well, first off, what does it say about you? Because you don't know enough about cryptocurrencies. I mean, they could say, hey, you can't have it in IRA accounts anymore. And yeah, that would suck. But when it comes to, banning Bitcoin, you know, there really is no way to ban Bitcoin. There is no way our government can't even, you know, stop people from using drugs, can't even stop people from, you know, all the 9 million laws we have to prevent people against doing certain things that, you know, the government doesn't want them to do. And guess what? It's a lot harder to stop Bitcoin. I mean, what are you going to do? You take out the electricity. And then even if they did take out the electricity, there's thousands and thousands of nodes all around the world. As soon as one of them repopulates, the whole Bitcoin network repopulates again. So this is something that can't be stopped. And if I was going to have my future rest upon government cash that's digital, that's tracked, surveilled, can be stopped, can be censored, can shut down political dissidents, which, believe me, if people like Hillary Clinton got in, there'd be a lot of people getting shut down right now. Or would you rather have Bitcoin or cryptocurrencies that can't be shut down? I'm going with Bitcoin. You can go with the one that gets shut down, and we'll see who's happier at the end of the day. All right. Now, one of the last points I wanted to make was, you know, we get to certain tipping points. And right now, I mean, hardly anybody as a percentage owns Bitcoin. I think there's like 7 million wallets in the world that own more than $100. So, you know, you've got, you know, 7 million divided by 7 billion people out there. And that's the percentage of the people that are out there that own Bitcoin. And where this is really attractive is not even necessarily in America. So you got to stop thinking of everything just in terms of America. You got to think about the rest of the world that is, you know, that's not going to have a JP Morgan Chase branch open up down the street in Africa, but pretty soon they're going to have decentralized internet access. Pretty soon they're going to have, pretty soon they're going to have the ability to, you know, with a smartphone. And again, you know, these smartphones are getting stupid cheap. Pretty soon everyone's going to be having them in the third world where, you know, let's say you live in Venezuela or you live in, you know, any of these other third world countries in Africa, you know, Bitcoin is actually might be more stable than their own currency. And the only difference between, you know, the volatility in Bitcoin and the volatility of their own currency is that the volatility of Bitcoin keeps going up, whereas the volatility of their other currency keeps going down. And right now I'm in the process of, I've got one of my video editors right now making a video where it's Peter Schiff saying, look at Bitcoin, it crashed down to 75, it crashed down to 100, it crashed down to 200, it crashed down to 500, it crashed down to 1,000, it crashed down to 5,000. And what he's trying to say is that, you know, the only difference between the, you know, the continental, there's an old saying, the very first currency in America was the continental, and they were saying, the saying used to be not worth the continental. What he was saying is, well, the continental was the holders of that eventually got back 10 cents in the dollar. And the difference is the holders of Bitcoin might get back nothing. And maybe he's right from the standpoint that Bitcoin is not the ultimate end all be all. And I'm actually of that opinion. But, you know, he's really kind of stuck in his ways. But if you guys want to know more about this, I'd really suggest that you take a look at Andreas Antonopoulos. I'm not sure how to spell his name. It's kind of like Antopoulos, however you want to spell that. He's probably one of the most knowledgeable guys in the space. And what I want to do is I want to leave you guys with a quote from Gary Vaynerchuk. Gary Vaynerchuk is one of the first investors in the Facebook. He called the fact that Instagram would be bought by Facebook for $1 billion. Everybody laughed at him, you know, way back before it happened. One of the biggest social media tycoons that's out there, you know, one of the guys that has his finger down to the pulse of the people more than anybody that's out there. And this was back in, earlier this year. And this is what Gary V had to say about Bitcoin.
You invested into blockchain and Bitcoin.
So I bought Bitcoin in 2014. So I just need all of you to eat that for a minute, okay? I love showing my Coinbase to people. They're like, fuck. I put in 25K. It's worth it. No. So, Marques, listen. I think blockchain's way bigger than people realize. Like, people are fucking with it, like, on a Bitcoin level. Then people are a little smarter on the Ethereum level. But when you understand what the blockchain is, my big thing with the blockchain is it can literally overthrow America and China and Russia. It's that powerful. It's a platform of trust, and we can do shit with each other, and everybody else is out. It's so heady, man. I understand it theoretically. I haven't spent a lot of time in it, right? But I've been spending more lately. You know, there's a lot of bullshit ICOs, get rich quick bullshit that's starting to happen.
Yes, there is.
I need all the dust, thank you. I need all the dust to settle a little bit. I'm watching. You know, my favorite time is when I'm like the cobra in the grass. I loved social media like 2006, 7, 8, because I was just like creeping. I was like in there, I was watching it. Like, that's how I'm with blockchain right now. That's how I'm with AR. That's how with voice, I'm a little louder because I was in the grass 2 years ago with voice and Alexa skills and podcasts, but now I'm out. I think it's super fascinating. I think there's a lot of people that know a lot more than me, which is why I don't spit on it a whole lot. But it's big, big. Like, building on top of it, building on top of Ethereum and taking advantage of it, there's real things. The same way you hacked, I watched how you hacked your social, you did it a little different. We can talk about it any way you want, but I think if you deploy some of that hacker culture into blockchain, you might find some real fruitful shit.
Anyways, man, I really appreciate everybody for watching this. I've got a 3:30 phone call I got to make, mountain time that is. So not sure what time zones people are people are watching me in. But anyways, definitely appreciate the watch. Please make sure to share. Please make sure to like. Please make sure to ask me questions that you guys have that you want me to answer. And thanks for watching, and talk to you guys later. Take care. Thank you.